welcome to Minute to Midnight. This is Tony in the studio this morning, and I am joined by Matt and also Joni Stahl. And Joni has been on our show a few times before, well, as a guest. Well, we now see her as a part of the team rather than just a guest. So the team is sort of consisting pretty much of me, Chris, Matt, Joni, and Brooke. Brooke's not here and Chris are not here, but three of us are. So good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Joni.
Yeah, good morning, Tony and Matt. Great to be here.
Yes, it's good. It's good to have us, the three of us, doing this together today. And God's been giving you pretty pertinent dreams of late there, Joni, and I believe you want to share some of that today.
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, I do want to say this before I say it. You know, when any of us receive dreams, I do believe that those of us who do receive dreams know the difference between a dream from the Lord and just a regular dream, because dreams that are from the Lord are vivid, they're penetrating, they're not like regular dreams, and they're chock full with messages. And the one that he gave me recently, I'll start from the one from January 31st.
And people can find articles on the aminutetomidnight.com website that have got these dreams in it too, eh? So carry on, yep.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's sometimes, you know, I'll just have dreams. Sometimes I'll go 2 years and not have a dream. And then all of a sudden, excuse me, I notice that when he gives me dreams, sometimes he'll give me a few in a row. So there's three that I've pretty much had in a row. And I'm going to start with the first one. It was on January 31st. And in my dream, I saw myself in the mountains. And it was like what you would see, like a typical mountains, beautiful greenery, pine trees, lush vegetation. I noticed as I was standing around that I saw families and children and cars, and it just looked like the typical American vacation, carefree. And I noticed that where I was staying, I walked upstairs and I was staying in some like little motel. It was cute. It was quaint. It was real cabin-esque, but it was old. And that's the kind of thing that Americans love. We love to go to old cabins because it's cultural.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah. So, but I was there for a moment because I remember I was sitting on the bed and this feeling came over me immediately that I had to go, like it was time to go. So I got up, I left, I went downstairs to go check out. I went into the motel office, and all of a sudden, everybody that I saw outside, the families that were happy and carefree, they were all gathered together in the office, but they were all like in an uproar. There was frenetic energy. There was chaos. People were yelling and screaming and upset. And I was like, what is this? And I couldn't get the attention of the clerk. And I thought, well, I'll step outside. I'll just wait till everybody's done. I'll go back in and check out. So I stepped outside. And as soon as I stepped outside, instantly, it was like I stepped into another scenery. It looked like a blasted wilderness, like a desert. It was horrible looking. There was no more trees. It was so bad. It looked like absolute destruction and chaos had wiped it out. There was nothing. There was no greenery. And it was like a waste, howling wilderness, like this horrible wind was whipping through the town. And I couldn't understand what happened, but I'll tell you, instantly I knew. Because in a vision, I've been having visions since I was 16, and I'm in my 50s now. And I can certainly tell you, I knew right away. It was not that I was seeing some horrible scene like what happened to everything, but I knew something had happened to our government. I knew that there was no safety, that there was no more government, that there was safety for no one. And not to mention, I looked and there was no people. They were all gone. And I realized I had to get out of there. And as soon as I thought, I got to get out of here, I got to go somewhere that's safe. And the man that's always in my dream, he pulled up in a car. I get in the car. Instantly, even though we were in the mountains, we're headed toward the beach. We can see the ocean right in front of us. And it was odd and ominous because...
Can I just, just for a second, Joni, for some people may not have heard your dreams before. Can you just briefly describe about the man that appears in your dreams for people that don't know?
Yeah, I think it's important. You know, since I was 16 years old, And since then, and I've had dreams my entire life, there's always this man, and he's always there. I never see his face. A lot of times he will talk to me in my dreams. He'll show me things. He will discuss things with me. Or sometimes he'll just be there because he's brought me somewhere to show me something. So
reminds me of that, the Harbinger, with that book where that guy, Angel or whatever he is, it shows up in the story all the time. Same sort of thing. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Carry on. Yep.
Yeah. Whoever he is, I do know he's some representative of heaven. I always try to be very careful. Then, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure he's an angelic host of some kind, but whoever he is, he's there. And I'm never afraid of him, and he's kind to me, and he's never the focus of it, but he's there. You know what I mean? So,
yep. Carry anyway. On. Oh, I think Matt's got something.
Joni, I just had a bit of a question about the first part of your dream. It seems that you were in a lovely, tranquil setting, and then it went to a scene of chaos quite suddenly. What do you think that means?
You know, I'm glad to like split it up like this, because if I say the entire dream, then it's kind of hard to jump back and forth. You know, looking back at that dream and praying about it, you know, there's things in a dream, like when you've been having dreams as long as I have, and I hate to say I, because I'm just saying, you know, once you've been in that gift for many, many years, you understand right away the things he's showing you. You know, I will say this. There's always something I've been hearing from the Lord in the last 2 years. My dreams that I've been having, something's always happening suddenly. So whatever I knew what had happened suddenly to our government as well as to the landscape, because it just happened so fast and there was no more trees. There was no more lush vegetation. So I take that to mean two different things. It can mean a spiritual wiping out of our natural resources, or it can just mean that something happened. Like, I mean, is there going to be war on our soil? I'm not going to fully interpret that. I like to leave that open for maybe something further the Lord will show me. I don't like to close the door on that. But I know this, whatever is going to happen, because this is not the first dream I've had of this, but the Lord has shown me over and over in different circumstances that what is coming is going to be sudden. It's going to be overnight. It's going to be when we least expect it. And the very thing I wanted to point out was it went from, you know, the typical cultural American setting of everybody having our freedom. We're used to freedom. Mm. We do whatever we want, go wherever we want. We have our cultures, our tradition. But it changed suddenly. And no one was ready for it because it was so severe. So the main thing too is I did know that there was no more safety. And I knew that it didn't just mean for me. I understood that it was gone for everybody. So my feeling of wanting to run wasn't like I was scared, like someone's around the corner and they're going to attack me. I knew that safety was no longer available anymore. So yeah, so that's exactly what I got from that vision, and afterwards prayerfully.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Okay, cool.
Okay, so the next part, which I think is very riveting and it was very powerful, spoke volumes to me for sure, is when we're headed toward the ocean. It was this big harbor, and it was a big, big harbor, and we pulled up and I saw these fishing boats in the distance, and they were moored out in the ocean. And there were several of them. And I said, wait, stop. There's something wrong. And so the man that was driving the car stopped. And I wanted to get out of the car so I can get a better look at the boats, because there was something wrong. And what I can see was that they were very, very old ships. Like they had to be 100 years old. But I noticed they were abandoned. They were rotten. You know how wood looks when it's been out for decades?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rotten, like deteriorated,
and they were
abandoned. Yeah. And even in my dream, like I knew what it meant, even in my dream. And I heard this in my spirit, in my dream, the gospel is no longer being preached. The fishermen have abandoned their boats long ago. And this horrible feeling came over me. It was so ominous. Like, I don't like to overuse a word. Like, I don't like to use words, strong words, if I don't mean it. But a horror came over me. Like, it was almost worse that the government was no more. That's all I could say. And so we were walking away. All of a sudden, the man and I were walking along the shore. And I noticed as we were walking, the ocean started to turn and churn. And it started to, like, very rapidly, like no time was being wasted. And it started to become rough and it was churning. And I looked up at the sky and I thought, is there a storm coming? But I didn't see any clouds. As we were walking along, I'm going to try to describe this the best way I can.
Yep.
The ocean began to rise high, like not a wall, but like the entire body of the ocean was mounting up so high, like higher than us. Like, it wasn't making sense. Like, what's happening? And then at the same time, it looked like a raging rapid, which didn't make sense to me because I thought, my God, look, like it looked like death. Like, what is happening? I was terrified. I didn't understand why it was churning and it was violent. And as soon as I was feeling that fear, that man and I got swept up into that ocean. And as I got swept up into the ocean, I saw thousands of people who were swept up in it. And it was death. You know how if you fall into a rapid, there's no getting out of it. You're going to die.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
You know, the worst kind of, and it looked like that. And I just saw people going to their death. They were screaming, nothing they could do because they were overpowered. And I looked behind me and I saw that man. And like, he wasn't afraid. Like, he was right behind me. And I looked ahead and I saw a watchtower. And it was a very high watchtower, very high. And I thought, I've got to get to that watchtower. I don't know how, but I've got to get there. And as soon as I thought that thought, my feet were on the sand and I was running up the watchtower. As soon as I got up into the watchtower, I saw that man in there. And I saw several people that were in there. And I thought, you know, I'm going to wait in here because therefore I can just wait it out, whatever's happening. And as soon as I said that, I looked from where we came, which was south, because there was windows that were in a 360-degree setup around the watchtower. And I looked south. And now remember, I'm trying to describe the water being high. Like, it wasn't even earthly looking. It was nothing anybody has ever seen. And I saw this wave in the distance and it was barreling towards us. And I knew at the speed it was coming and the distance that it was at, that it meant death, that watchtower was not going to be my safety. And then immediately I looked west out into the ocean. I saw at the same time, that same kind of a wave coming towards the watchtower, barreling towards us with the same intensity and speed. Then I looked north and I saw a wave that super outranked those two. That was like 100 times the size of those two coming towards us with greater power. And I, right then the man said, Joan, you have to jump. And then I looked down and I saw debris. The water was coming up underneath the watchtower. I saw the waves coming and then he jumped and disappeared into the water. And I knew, I thought either I'm going to stay in this tower and die or I'm going to have to jump and whether I live or die, I don't know. But I jumped. As soon as I jumped, I was on the sand, like a little bit in the water, but effortlessly.
Yeah.
Do you think
as I got there, that man was there waiting for me and he embraced me. Like, he didn't hug me. He just put his hands on my shoulders and he was saying, you made it. And he was full of joy.
Sorry.
I think Matt's got something.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to ask you that whole situation with the tower. What do you think the tower represented, Joni?
You know, I think the tower represented a phase of safety because we're on Earth. These things that are coming are terrifying us, right? So I see something that I think is going to save me. Like, I can get there and I can ride out. Now, I noticed that in just thinking, you know, I think about that scripture where it says, before they are speaking, I will answer them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so I thought, okay, the Lord will allow us during this time, because I believe what the Lord was showing me wasn't some random thing. I believe it was articulate. He's showing us a season of what is coming. And while we are in it, we will try to run for our life because we will see terrifying things.
Yeah.
He will allow us, just like he allowed Lot to run to the cave at Zoar. Remember?
Yes.
He went to the cave. Remember, he didn't go where he said he was supposed to go. And he went to Zoar, but that didn't work out either. Well, that was kind of like a Zoar for me, you know? And so I believe with all my heart, and I have clarity with that, that there's going to be things that he's showing me. I don't believe are just for me, because I believe when he shows things that I'm involved in, he's showing everybody all together what's happening in the season. So I'm kind of representative of like what he's going to be showing us, what we're going to be doing. Mm. So my looking at that watchtower was my own self going, I can get there. I could wait it out. There's things that we are going to have to go through that's coming.
Yeah.
I felt this very strongly. It wasn't random. I believe those three waves that are coming, and they're all coming at once, is destruction. Because those waves weren't, and it wasn't anything like a tsunami. It made a tsunami look like a bubble bath.
Yeah, I think I said to you that it reminded me when I read it, you know, of what, I was thinking of that interview we did with Gil Brassard talking about what, you know, could happen if Planet X came, you know, with the size of the ocean and all that. Not saying that that's what the dream is, but it kind of gave me that sort of thought, you know.
You know what I believe, you guys, that, you know, we have only known this civilization that we're in now.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, we've watched National Geographic stuff and, you know, terrible things and, you know, I mean, natural disasters, and they're horrible. We haven't seen anything yet.
No. Yeah. Mm.
You know, we serve a God that we fear, and we rightfully fear. And I say fear in the regard of deeply respect. And it is a right fear that we have of him. And, you know, a lot of people, they want to nail down. And I feel like I really need to say this, because there's so much like infighting in the Christian community. Everybody's saber rattling. Mm. Everybody has a position. Everybody wants to fight with each other. Mm. Everybody wants to beat each other up with their theology. But, you know, bottom line, the Lord is sovereign. He's sovereign over his creation. And he said he's going to level the earth. That's what he said. Mm. He's going to resurface the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So there is going to have to be a beginning to that, and he's showing me that it's coming. And when it's coming, when it comes, it's going to be sudden. And, you know, I also believe this, that the two times that I thought, okay, I want, you know, get me, I got to get to that tower. And then the second time where I said, okay, here I am, I got to jump. You know, those were two supernatural events in there. I mean, it's all supernatural, but he showed me as a person, as a Christian, that what's going to happen is going to require all of us to be able to call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord is already involved in it. He's already showing us by those things. He's already in it. So right now, we have to have confidence that if he's showing us these things, it's because he already has it under control. And it's going to take faith to do things. Remember, I didn't want to jump from that tower because I thought, you know, either I'm going to die from these things coming or I'm going to jump.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be things that we're going to have to do to make decisions on that we're just going to have to close our eyes and jump. But
that was one of my questions, Joni, was that did you see that as a sort of a marked leap of faith?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely, because the entire time in my dream, it's very interesting in these visions, because even though it's a vision, I'm like 100% there, like I'm 100% here with you guys in this day. I'm there. You know, that's the thing with visions. Like in dreams are kind of willy-nilly, you're all over the place. But dreams are very articulate. They're sharp.
You mean visions?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, dreams or visions?
Dreams or visions, yeah. I mean, because, and he has to make it that way, because every little thing means something. And like those people that were caught up, remember, like I want to talk about that. Like when I looked and I saw thousands of people caught up in that flood, and they were churning and screaming, they were in torment. Because what is going to happen? Like, remember the first phase? I walked out, there was no more people anymore. Okay? Mm. Wherever they were in hiding. They were terrified. They were gone. Then the second phase of it, they were carried away in that flood. And we know that when God sends a flood, we know that the flood can mean two things. Remember, it says that the Antichrist sends a flood against the woman in the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Flood in the Old Testament means an army. Right. You know, it talks about Pharaoh has a flood. Mm. That's his army.
Yeah.
But when God sends a flood, he'll use natural disasters to correct man. Because it even says in Job, I believe it's Job 38, but don't quote me, but it says, for even if he sends rains upon the earth, he'll do it whether for blessing or either for correction. So, you know, I mean, he can halt the rain, right? Because that's one of the one of the penalties for not worshiping at the Feast of Tabernacles during the Millennial Kingdom. So, anyways, just to finish this dream, because it's almost done. After the man greeted me and he was so happy, he was gone. He just walked away and then he was gone. And I noticed all of a sudden I'm in like this little shanty village town, and it looked like just ramshackle buildings. And I walked in like there was nowhere else to walk. Like you had to walk into this little building, and they were all joined together. But I noticed as I was walking through there, and there was big rooms, that each room had a nation in it. Like I saw people from Sweden. I saw people that were from, you know, the Asian regions. I saw people that were American. I saw people like in each room, but everybody was hugging each other, you know, as if you made it out of like a shipwreck and everybody swam to shore and everybody's hugging each other. Are you okay? We made it. There was a rejoicing, a grand rejoicing that they had made it. And just to stop there, later on, the Lord showed me that he was showing me that there's victory at the end of everything that's happening. And that he was showing me what's going to happen later. Now, does that mean it was in heaven? I'm not going to say yes, but I do know this. It was people, all those little places that were connected, and every room that had a nation in it. I thought in my mind that he's gathering people from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue. And that place represented, because remember, it was all different people, different rooms, but all connected. So he showed that to me as all the household of faith, that he saved them. You know, I mean, let's face it. The Lord has a plan, and he's going to pull his plan off.
Yeah.
And I believe that the beauty of the Lord is that he shows us these things in advance, but not to scare us. It's a blessing. He's telling us what's happening because he wants us to pray. He wants us to seek his face.
It's to prepare rather than scare, isn't it? It's to prepare rather than scare.
Yeah, because the Lord does it. He's not a spirit of fear.
No.
You know, he says that he's given us, you know, the scripture, for he has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and of a sound mind. And he came to establish us. We're his people. You know, didn't appoint us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through election. So at the very end, I walked out into a room and I saw this big table of women. They were all my age and older. And there was an empty chair and I sat down with the women and they all knew me. They were happy to see me. And there was an older lady, and she began to worship the Lord. And it was amazing because, you know, when you worship sometimes, you can feel like the whole room fill up with his presence.
Yeah.
But in the song, he embodied the music. It's hard to describe. But as she sang, the song embodied his powerful presence. And as I began to sing with them, it was just beyond description. So that is a victory. You know, he's showing us a victory. And I just feel so, like I need to say, there's so much focus on everything that's going on in the world today. You know, we're looking at everything. You can't even look at one direction and say, look at the economics. Look what's happening. You can look over here and say, look at all the people being beheading. There's a Christian genocide happening right now. And, you know, the list is endless. But what happens is, and I'm really, and I'm going to tie this in afterwards on my third dream, is what we have to be very careful is, it is important. God wants us to have understanding of the times, just like the tribe of Issachar, who had the understanding of the times, so that, you know, Israel may know what they ought to do, and all the brethren were attentive unto them. I believe God wants intelligent service. He wants us to see what's going on at the times. He wants a high caliber of people. I always stress that. He loves intelligence. So as we look at what's happening, he wants us to be very careful that we don't get so heavily in that, that we don't see the grand picture, the overall picture, that Christ is seated upon his throne. He has a covenant that he has made with us. You know, and that's another thing I want to say. You know, people are always wondering, well, where's America? Where's America? He didn't make a covenant with America. He made a covenant with Israel.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are like, and I know this is off the track, but I'll just keep it short. You know, like, where's America? Where's America? I mean, I've been there too, searching. Where's America? Where's America? I just believe somehow we get absorbed. We're not even remotely mentioned. I believe we're mentioned as the Isles, if I was going to take anything out of it, in Ezekiel 38, you know, the Isles. So
yeah, we may disagree a little bit on that one, because I tend to think that America is shaping up to be Mystery Babylon myself, or, you know, the beast that the harlot rides upon, the harlot possibly being Israel, and the beast that she's riding on being America. But, you know, I'm not saying absolutely for sure that's correct. But in saying that, I don't want people to think that I'm maybe anti-Semitic by mentioning Israel there, or that I'm anti-Israel or anti-American, because I'm not. But this is just possible interpretations of the Book of Revelation I'm talking about here.
Well, you know, I'm always I'm open to interpretation for sure. And, you know, I don't have a nailed down position, and all those things are viable. And I think it's proper to keep that door open, because, like I said, you know, I think I wrote to you a couple emails ago that I used to be dogmatic in my position, but as time has rolled on, I've seen a lot of things that didn't happen that I thought.
Yeah, so I think it's the same. I mean, I'm always, you know, you have something, you think, well, this is where I'm leaning at the moment, but until we're there at the day, it's still a mystery. I mean, that's why it's Mystery Babylon. We're not, you know, it's not going to be easily known, otherwise it wouldn't be a mystery. So what do you reckon, Matt?
I'm the same. I tend to go with the thinking of just, it's really watching to see how things play out, because so often when people take a very firm position on things, they get so entrenched in that, that's all they focus on. And it's that people then all of a sudden lose sight of what God's doing. And that's, to me, that's really disturbing.
Yeah, because there are so many positions. I mean, you go on, say, on the internet, and you'll find this person is saying this and that person saying that, and they're all claiming it's of God. And, you know, Donald Trump's the Antichrist, or Barack Obama's the Antichrist. Or, you know, it's sort of like, but the thing that bothers me is when people are so rigid in their position, they won't even admit the possibility that they may not have it quite right, you know. So we just have to keep our eyes open and I guess keep listening to the Holy Spirit to guide us, because we're going to know, you know, at the right time what we need to know if we're in that place. And
I agree 100% with that. You know, I mean, it even says that the Antichrist will be revealed in his time. And, you know, and plus not only that, it's a more peaceful place to be. And I have peace in that position.
Yeah.
You know, just to let it go. Yeah. Like, you can read all you want. You can study every position. And then I just lay it down.
Yeah,
because I really do want to focus on what God is doing today in our life today, as he leads us and as he carries us on. And I believe, like you said, when he's ready to reveal something, he's the revealer. He's going to make it known, and it's not going to be esoteric knowledge. You know, and sometimes that's what the danger is, that, you know, you'll get different groups of Christian people who will think that they're, you know, they'll stand on an esoteric word. Well, the Lord showed us. Well, we're the whole household of faith. I believe in my heart, if he's going to tell them, he's going to tell us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We're all going to know it. He's not going to just tell somebody over there, and then we have to listen to one person. That's where we have to be careful, because that's where you start getting, it starts getting dangerous.
Yes.
When people start, you know, like, oh, did you hear over there, this minister, you know, these people, this church over here, they're really hearing from the Lord. And I think, well, if the Holy Spirit's going to be giving us a message, he's going to be giving it to everybody at the same time all over the world that belong to him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I agree.
You know, remember that verse where Jesus says, when he was warning us, he said, when they say unto you, look, he is in the desert, or look, he is in the secret places. What did he say next? Believe it not.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And you on know, the on the other side of that, you know, I've heard of cases of Christians in persecuted countries, you know, where they can't have a church, a regular sort of church, and they can't pre-organize even where they're going to meet because of the authorities, you know, would if they find out they're toast. But and God will simultaneously reveal to those different people where to meet. It's like, right, we're going to meet at such and such a time in the corner of such and such a forest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit tells all of the people. There's no written word, no telegrams, no phone calls. It's just revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, they all go there. So if God can do that in that situation, surely he's going to be doing the same thing on the real big picture for all of those.
Well, I mean, if we get so nailed down into being in a place, or look, let's go over here to this conference. I'm not against that. You want to go to do that? That's fine. But what I really believe about the Lord is his omnipresence.
Yeah.
You know, and what about people that are all alone? What about people that never, what if they're a quadriplegic and their hearts are on fire for Christ? What if they're a shut-in? No one's visiting them. I know for a fact, Christ is with them. He says he would never leave us as orphans. And I'll tell you something. I know this. You guys know it. Isn't there a sweetness and a beauty when you get alone with the Lord? Yeah. You know, I wake up every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts. And you know what? Every day he's present. Hmm. And some days he's more powerful present in that time than anywhere. Hmm. Or how about this? How about when you're just driving or whatever you're doing, all of a sudden he shows up. You're not even asking him. So, you know, we have to really be humble because he is the Lord. And if he wants to say something to you or visit you, that's his sovereign right. He's going to do it because he's God.
Mm.
So I like that, you know, that liberty that we have as the children of God, that we could be anywhere at any time and he's instant. His presence is there. So I believe that I just want people to know this that are listening, that if you're not praying right now, I don't know, I mean, maybe you don't have the time or whatever. God's not looking for you to find some, you know, religious corner to pray in, and that you have to, it's not a contest. You don't have to be like other people. Just start talking to him now. Just start talking to the Lord. I don't care if you're driving or washing your dishes. I don't care what it is. Just start engaging God. That's all he cares about. When you begin to do that, your spirit will begin to get more sensitive. You'll become stronger in your spirit, man. You'll become sensitive. You'll be easily, it'll be a lot more easy for him to move in you. But don't get caught up in ritual. Don't ever do that. That is the opposite thing that the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to talk to him all the time. And don't be afraid to ask him. You know, I wanted to share something with you really quick.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks, I was praying about something, and there was something I wanted to ask the Lord. And I have a pretty good relationship with him, but I was kind of sensitive about what I wanted to ask him. And I finally came out with it. And I said, Lord, I don't know. I want to say this. I know you know, you understand my thoughts from afar, but I'm afraid to ask you. And I heard him say, you need to be more afraid not to ask me.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I really wanted to really emphasize is, you know, we could look at all these different gifts and talents of people, but our eyes have to be focused right now on our God today, not horizontally. You know, I think of that scripture that says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. You know, God wants all eyes on him. You know, don't get caught up so much in tons of reading and tons of study. You know, it says in the word that much study is a weariness to the flesh. God is trying to move in all his people right now. And is so noisy, he can't get hardly anyone's attention. He wants everybody to know. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you individually. He wants to speak to you directly. And all you have to do, just look unto him. Just do it in your heart. God is going to move you. He's going to speak to you, and it's going to be in ways you never imagined. It can be he'll wake you up out of sleep. It can be when you're driving. It can be when you're walking. It doesn't matter. But the Lord has to be able to direct you. And it happens quickly. When you start praying, trust me, trust him. He is going to start quickening your spirit, and he's going to make it so that he opens your ears to hear like those of the learned. That's what he says, that he will give you the ears of the learned. So have faith in God, trust in him, and start praying. Today's a good day to start.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, yeah, we can see lots of things going on in the world that could disturb us, God doesn't want us to be afraid, but to trust him, and that's the way to do that is to actually seek him and get in prayer. I know if I go periods of time with too much without getting into prayer and time alone with God, I start, you know, losing the plot, getting fearful of, you know, my own circumstances and different things. So the bottom line is we really can't afford to not be spending time with God, wouldn't you think, Matt?
Oh, absolutely. That very much has spoken to me today, Joni, and just hearing what you've said then, that's, yeah.
One last thing. I wanted to ask you guys if you noticed, and everybody else that's listening, have you noticed the difference? You know when your head is in heaven? I mean, really in heaven, you know, when you're really dwelling on the throne of God, and you're just, your head or your mind is in the heavenly places. You notice how you can go out, and it can be any day, even a hard day, but there's an ease to the day.
Yeah.
There's a light that comes from heaven that's alive. It's his spirit, like that heaven and its light are in you. And in the day, an average day can seem like the best day. But notice when you start praying less, a darkness starts to overtake your spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
You start to become more peevish. You start to complain more. You start to get dark.
Yes.
That's how, you know, remember Moses' face? It shone. You know, look at his face. It shone because he was looking in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the face of the Lord Jesus Christ shines upon us. And so, you know, God gives you the power to do it. A lot of people, they want to, you know, they're like, I just can't read the Bible. It's so hard. God's not asking you to become a scholar. You know what? Think about it. Where in the, you know, when people say, well, I received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, it never says receive. It says believe. Read the book of John. To as many as believeth on him, to them that gave he the power to become sons of God. To many as receive him, he gives the power to become sons of God, yea, to as many that believe on his name. He just wants you to believe. And even to keep yourself as a little child.
Mm.
We have to become like little children. Mm. The basic work of the Holy Spirit when we get saved is a work of destruction to our flesh. We're in the way. So by the time, I mean, look at, by the time he used Moses, Moses had nothing left. At 40 years old, he was ready to be a judge and, you know, prince and ruler of the people. But look what he did with his zeal. He killed somebody.
Hmm.
But by the time he was 80 years old, he was ready to be used because he was dead. So now he could be used. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the life of God without your flesh getting in the way. Your flesh has to be the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. It has to be commanded. And it takes time to get there. And I'm not saying this to scare anybody. God will give you the power to do it, especially if he knows the days are shortening and stuff. Trust the Lord to do it. A man can receive nothing except to be given to him from above. And that means nothing. You have nothing. We don't have anything. It's all from him.
Okay, so, yes, thanks for that. All right, so thanks, Joni, for sharing that. And we've got you've got another dream, so we will be putting that in the next episode. So make sure, people, that you subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already done so, and support Rockshore Sounds if you can, as well, in terms of I make all the music for these shows, and supporting rockshoresounds.com also helps support aminutetomidnight.com. So that's it for this show. So thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Joni, as well, too.
All right, listen, you guys, I had a great time. I look forward to sharing the next dream with you. And until then, have a great day.
Great. Thank you. You too, Jane.
Thanks. God bless.